Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter Jr., Alice Bryant, and Anne Ball. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Mario Ritter Jr.
The administration of American President Donald Trump is changing rules for migrants seeking asylum at the southern U.S. border. The new rules say that migrants must seek asylum in the country they pass through to get to the southern U.S. border before they can seek asylum in the United States. Asylum is political protection given by one country to a person who is from another country. Usually, people who seek asylum fear they would face danger if they return to their own country. The new rules offer limited exceptions. These include if a person has been trafficked, if they pass through a country that has not signed major international migration treaties, or if they have been denied asylum in the third country. The rule is set to go into effect Tuesday. Attorney General William Barr said in a statement that the United States is a generous country but is being completely overwhelmed. Barr said the rules are meant to decrease the number of economic migrants and those who seek to exploit the asylum system. In publishing the new rules, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, DHS, said it faces more requests than it can deal with. Of the 900,000 immigration cases waiting for trial, 436,000 include asylum applications, it said. The Trump administration said the new rules are aimed at reducing the large difference in the number of those whose claims are approved for consideration and those who gain asylum. In its announcement, the DHS said only about 4,021 people receive asylum each year. Currently, the U.S. has what is known as a Safe Third Country Agreement only with Canada. Central American countries, including Mexico, are considering the issue. Guatemalan officials were expected in Washington, D.C. on Monday to discuss a Safe Third Country Agreement with the U.S. A Safe Third Country Agreement would mean that Salvadorans, Hondurans, and people from elsewhere who cross into Guatemala would have to apply for asylum there instead of doing so at the U.S. border. However, Guatemala canceled the meeting. A legal case brought against Guatemalan President Jimmy Morales seeks to bar him from entering into such an agreement with the United States. The country's constitutional court has not yet ruled on the issue. The new asylum rules are likely to face legal action from activist groups in the United States. Lee Gellert is a lawyer with the American Civil Liberties Union, a rights group based in New York City. He has been involved in several cases opposing Trump administration actions related to immigration. He told the Associated Press that the new rules were unlawful and that they would hurt migrants' efforts to gain asylum. The new rule comes as the issue of illegal immigration has increased tensions between the Trump administration and Congress. On Friday, House members and witnesses in an oversight committee hearing had emotional exchanges discussing conditions at border holding centers. The centers are for people detained after crossing the border illegally. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
Transportation company Uber may soon be expanding its services to Senegal's capital. Uber works much like a common taxi, except drivers and riders find each other through a smartphone app. But Dakar is a city full of taxis and drivers who do not have smartphones. So Uber will have some difficulty being useful to its residents and making a profit. Dakar, like most African capitals, has a lot of taxis. In most parts of the city, any time, day or night, it is easy to find a ride. But the city is quickly growing, and Uber says it has seen an opportunity to move in. Francesca Uriri is Uber's head of communications in West Africa. She told VOA that any progressive city that has a need for safe, dependable transportation is where we want to be.
We are part of a broader mobility movement in establishing smart cities of the future, and we'll continue to explore these options in West Africa.
Among other issues Uber will face in Dakar is a lack of exact addresses. Taxi drivers know the city very well and usually find places based on landmarks. So a big question for some residents is how Uber taxis could work in a city that rarely uses map apps. Sa Ngone, a Dakar resident, has used Uber's services while traveling in the United States. He said Uber might work well in Dakar, but will need a lot of investment.
When you are coming to my house, I will not be able to tell you exactly where my house is located on the map. So I will have to tell you a building or somewhere, a school, somewhere I can pick you from.
Unlike Ngone, most Dakar residents do not know about Uber. But similar services, including Allo Taxi, already exist in the city. Allo Taxi is a service you call to set up rides. However, some say the services already in Dakar are not fully developed, and Uber's arrival would be a welcome addition. I think if this company came in, it would create competition and add something new to the landscape of transportation in Dakar. I think it could work really well, Dakar resident M. D. A. told told VOA. But for most taxi rides in Dakar, riders and drivers must negotiate prices before getting in. Both think they would be happier if the prices were fixed based on distance and time. I'm Alice Bryant.
People who drink a lot of sugary drinks have a higher risk of developing cancer, researchers announced last week. However, the evidence cannot yet establish a direct connection between the two. The researchers said the findings of a large study in France suggest that limiting the amount of sugar-sweetened drinks may help reduce the number of cancer cases. Drinking sugary drinks has become more common worldwide in the last several decades. Sugar drinks are linked to obesity, the condition of being extremely overweight, which increases a person's cancer risk. The study was published in the BMJ British Medical Journal. It looked at data from just over 100,000 French adults, 21% of them men and 79% women. The researchers noted how many sugary drinks each of them had and followed them for up to 9 years, between 2009 and 2018. The researchers measured their risk for all types of cancer and some individual ones, such as breast, colon, and prostate cancers. The researchers adjusted for other possible cancer risks in each individual, including age, sex, educational level, family history, smoking, and physical activity levels. The scientists found that a 100 milliliters increase in sugary drinks was linked to an 18% increased risk of overall cancer and a 22% increased risk of breast cancer. The researchers looked at those who drink fruity juices and those who drink other sweet drinks. Both groups, they found, showed a higher risk of cancer overall. For prostate and colorectal cancers, no link was found. The researchers said this might have been because there was only a limited number of cases of these cancers in the study group. Experts not directly involved in the work said it was a well-run study, but noted that its results could not establish cause and effect. Amelia Lake is an expert in public health nutrition at Britain's Teesside University. She said that while this study does not provide a definite cause and effect between sugar and cancer, it does add to the importance of efforts to reduce sugar intake. I'm Ann Ball.
Welcome to the Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. We begin the story of the presidency of George W. Bush. His first term came to be defined by the worst terrorist attack against the United States in the nation's history. George W. Bush had been in office for less than 8 months when the events of September 11th, 2001 took place.
A plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Good Lord, this is just a horrific moment.
The day is remembered as 9/11. On that morning, 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists hijacked four large passenger airplanes on the East Coast. The planes were flying to California, so they were heavy with fuel. Each group of hijackers included a trained pilot. American Airlines Flight 11 had just left Boston, Massachusetts, when five hijackers seized control of the plane.
Is that American 11 trying to call?
We have some planes. Just stay quiet and you'll be okay. We're returning to the airport.
American 11, are you trying to call?
Number three in the back. The cockpit's not answering. Somebody's stabbed in business class. And I think there's mace that we can't breathe. I don't know. I think we're getting hijacked.
Nobody move. Everything will be okay. If you try to make any move, you'll danger yourself and the airplane. Let's stay quiet.
Shortly before 9 o'clock, the hijackers crashed the Boeing 767 into the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City.
A plane has just crashed into the World Trade Center. It happened just a few moments ago.
The World Trade Center, tower number one, is on fire. The whole outside of the building was just a huge explosion.
Five other hijackers seized United Airlines Flight 175, another Boeing 767, also on a flight from Boston.
Hey, can you look out your window right now? Can you see a guy at about 4,000 feet, about 5 East Airport right now? Looks like he's...
Yeah, hi, Sam.
You see a guy, look, is he descending for the building also?
He's descending really quick, too, yeah.
Well, that's...
2,500 feet now. He just dropped 800 feet in like one sweep.
That's another situation.
Another one just hit the building.
Well, hit it hard.
The whole building just came apart.
They crashed the jet into the South Tower of the World Trade Center a short time after the first plane hit the North Tower.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That looks like a second plane. You just saw another plane coming in from the side.
You did. That was out of...
Yes, and that's the second explosion. You could see the plane come in. So this looks like it is some sort of a concerted... effort to attack the World Trade Center that is underway in downtown New York.
The Twin Towers each had 110 floors. They were the tallest buildings in New York and among the tallest in the world. They stood a few streets away from the New York Stock Exchange in the heart of the Wall Street Financial District in Lower Manhattan.
Goodness, there's another one.
The planes exploded in fireballs that sent clouds of smoke pouring from the skyscrapers. Thousands of people were in the buildings. Many workers on the floors below where the planes hit were able to escape. Others on the floors above were trapped. Some apparently felt their only choice was between burning to death and jumping. News cameras showed disturbing images of bodies falling from the towers. The South Tower of the World Trade Center collapsed just before 10 o'clock, after burning for almost an hour. The North Tower came down about 30 minutes later. It had been hit first and had burned for 1 hour and 42 minutes.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed, as if a demolition team set off, when you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, down on itself, and it is not there anymore.
Investigators later found that the intense fires from the jet fuel, burning for as long as they had caused the structures to fail. The ruins of the two buildings quickly became known as Ground Zero. Several other buildings in the World Trade Center complex were damaged or destroyed as a result of the collapse of the Twin Towers. Another group of hijackers took over American Airlines Flight 77, a Boeing 757. The plane had taken off from Washington Dulles International Airport.
Okay, American Airlines is still airborne. He's heading towards Washington. I think we need to scramble Langley right now, and I'm gonna take the fighters from Otis and try to chase this guy down if I can find him.
Mick Leshefsky has some new information at the Pentagon. I hope you'll stand by and continue to talk with us, Mick.
Katie, I don't want to alarm anybody right now, but it felt just a few moments ago like there was an explosion of some kind here at the Pentagon.
The hijackers crashed the plane into the Pentagon, the Department of Defense headquarters, across the Potomac River from Washington in Arlington, Virginia.
We're on the E-ring of the Pentagon. We have a window that faces out toward the Potomac, toward the Kennedy Center. We haven't been able to see or hear anything after the initial blast. I just stepped out in the hallway. Security guards were herding people out of the building. And I saw just a moment ago as I looked outside, a number of construction workers who have been working here have taken flight. They're running as far away from the building as they can right now.
The plane exploded a hole into one of the five sides of the huge building. And four hijackers seized United Airlines Flight 93, another 757. That plane had taken off from Newark, New Jersey.
United 93, that traffic for you is 1 o'clock, 12 miles eastbound, 370.
Negative contact, we're looking at United 93.
People on the flight learned about the terrorist attacks in New York and Washington through phone calls to loved ones.
It looks like he descended there.
United 93, verify 350.
United 93, Cleveland.
Go ahead, Frank.
Do you have United 93 south of Chardon?
We hear some funny noises. We're trying to get him.
Do you have him?
No.
Some of the 40 passengers and crew members fought to retake control of the plane from the hijackers.
United 93 was waving his wings as he went past the VFR aircraft. They don't quite know what that means. Rocking his wings.
Air traffic controllers and law enforcement officials struggled to make sense of the events taking place that morning.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land? Because we have confirmation.
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes,
down?
Somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
Okay, there is now on that United 93.
Yes.
There is a report of black smoke in the last position I gave you. 15 miles south of Johnstown.
Flight 93 crashed in a field near the small town of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The intended target for Flight 93 may have been the Capitol, the building where Congress meets. No one could be sure if other airliners were involved in the terrorist operation.
The Federal Aviation Administration has actually gone even further than it did a few minutes ago. It was asking all planes not to take off. Now the FAA has ordered all aircraft currently in the air over the United States to land at the nearest airport.
Air traffic controllers began the complex job of getting all planes across the country and those heading in over the Atlantic onto the ground safely.
So this meant at very early in the morning, as flights were halfway across the Atlantic Ocean to land in the United States, we had already initiated protocols to shut those arrivals off from the oceanic areas, and they had to make tough decisions such as either turn around and go back to Europe or go to alternate destinations, which many of them did in Canada.
Canadian officials assisted. They allowed flights from across the Atlantic to land in eastern Canada, including at airports in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and Gander, Newfoundland. Almost 3,000 people died in the 9/11 attacks.
You got it coming in for building number 2 on the 97th floor. People trapped.
91 floor. We're all around the building. We're completely around the building. We're into the building now. Okay.
Most of the victims worked in the World Trade Center.
Battalion 7, Operation Tower 1.
The victims also included rescuers. Among them, 343 New York City firefighters. They died trying to save others. Pictures of missing persons began to appear in the city as loved ones waited and worried. 3 days after the attacks, President Bush went to Ground Zero. He spoke to the rescue workers and promised that the attacks would be answered.
I want you all to know, America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Each day, thousands of visitors came to see the site and to honor those who died. At the Pentagon, people left flowers and messages of sympathy near the heavily damaged wall. 184 people died in the attack on the Pentagon, including the victims on the plane. It took months to clear the wreckage of the Twin Towers. The attacks in New York changed the distinctive skyline of Lower Manhattan. The Twin Towers, completed in 1973, were gone. The economic effects of 9/11 were felt far beyond America's largest city. The New York Stock Exchange stayed closed until September 17th. When it reopened, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, a measure of leading stocks, fell by what was then its biggest point drop ever in a single day. Among the companies most affected by the attacks were airlines and other businesses that depend on travelers. The nation's skies were empty of commercial flights for 3 days after the hijackings. And when flights returned to normal, many people were too afraid to fly. Thousands of hotel workers and others in the travel industry lost their jobs. The shock and sadness of the 9/11 attacks brought Americans together less than a year after the disputed presidential election. In a show of patriotism, more and more American flags began to appear on homes, cars, and businesses. Small American flag pins were worn by many Americans. The attacks pointed to the work of Osama bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda organization. On September 20th, President Bush went before a joint session of Congress to declare a war on terror.
Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.